In other news.
To determine why and how the towers collapsed.
Kind of scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to them and confront them. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. In our past discussions with author and ley line expert Peter Shampoo, we talked about the power where two ley lines cross each other, and that area is sometimes known to be a place of vortex energy. Today, these ancient crossroads are often the locations for stadiums, schools, corporate headquarters, museums, military monuments, and concealed obelisks. This is a narrow window into the vast territory covered in Peter Shampoo's book Gaia Matrix, Arcom and the Geometries of Destiny in the North American Landscape. In his recent article titled Healing the World Pyramid, Peter identifies the center of the world's landmass located at the site of the Great Pyramid in Egypt. He references a St. Petersburg University study that concluded how the Great Pyramid serves as an electromagnetic lens, focusing the force generated by the sun and earth on its internal chambers and limestone substrate. He's also chronicled historic events, most of them violent, as he travels along the trajectories extending from each Great Pyramid corner. He writes, "The purpose of this article is to examine the patterns emanating from this, quote, fire in the middle, and report on what I see." Peter is also the author of the book Moon Rivers, a geographic exploration of Earth's primary rivers. His website is geometryofplace.com. Peter, welcome back to Another News.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you back on the show. Your research is way ahead of its time, and in the past, when we've taken phone calls from listeners, many were thrilled to learn about your book, Gaia Matrix, and your abilities to map and discuss the various Northeast U.S. ley line grids influencing New York City. In your recent article titled Healing the World Pyramid, it's interesting to learn about the dynamics and influence of the Great Pyramid energy lines on society and consciousness that extends, for example, to the Northeast United States, but also internationally, following the quarters and cross-quarters that travel across the planet. Can you talk about why you wrote this article now and what are the differences in influence regarding a fully functioning Great Pyramid energy generator in contrast to what its capability is now?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Synchronicity, serendipity always plays a part with anything I do. And I did this particular article, Healing the World Pyramid, as a result of a request to come and speak in Chicago for a pyramid group, a pyramid meetup group there. The only parameters I was given was to speak about the pyramid. So I took it as an opportunity to finally look at the pyramid, and which I had stayed away from in the past, not wanting to step on any kind of Egyptologist's toes or anything. But in the end, I felt what I've discovered in my research of the site, I felt it my public responsibility to write an article about it, because I think the Great Pyramid is influencing us all. It's setting in a kind of like a program into the world itself because of its current state of affairs. This group that I was speaking to organizes the Global Pyramid Conference, and in that conference, it's all about pyramids and healing pyramids. People doing various, building them, and getting a spring that emerges out of the ground. And there's a lot of fantastic stories around pyramids, the ones that have been constructed. It seems to focus energy. There was a recent study by University of Petersburg that found that the Great Pyramid focuses electromagnetic energy from the substrate, from the lithosphere or the ground, and draws it in from the atmosphere around it, and focuses this energy and directs it, which it suggests that it was a powerhouse at one point. The Great Pyramid, when it was in its Prime had these Christopher Dunn, for instance, his research on the Giza pyramid as a power plant. It says a great deal about how the Great Pyramid functioned, and it appears to have been a generator of some sort, and this generator provided light and power for the Egyptian community. It's the evidence of this is that they had electric lights of some kind, because all these subterranean caverns that they've been discovering with the enclosed petroglyphs have no soot or anything on the ceiling, so it would indicate that there is a power source. And indeed, there's actual glyphs that depict an Egyptian holding a light. So I say that in my article that these dark lords have been released on the world because of the condition of the Great Pyramid, because of the hatred that's been focused on the Great Pyramid by, for instance, the Islamic Brotherhood and other caliphs in the past who have wanted to destroy the pyramid. There was an earthquake that actually shook off cladding, the exterior cladding on the pyramid, and that was used to build much of Cairo. So there's a conversation happening between Islam and the Great Pyramid. It's a love-hate thing, you know, in Egypt. It's just kind of the symbol in Islam. It's a symbol of idolatry. It's a symbol of everything that they don't like. So they tried to destroy it at one point, but they found that it was just too difficult of a task.
Peter, you used similar methods from your book Gaia Matrix to identify the Great Pyramid's influence, such as earth rings. Can you talk about what was revealed in this research?
In my methods with Gaia Matrix, I looked at patterns within the landscape to determine a geometric that existed in the North American tectonic plate. Specifically, my focus was on New England, and there are all these geographic features that were pointing towards this center plate. So, for instance, a plain of Manhattan pointed right to this center point of this geometric in Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. There are rivers that pointed there, geologic plains that pointed there. So I used the same with the Great Pyramid to see what points there, and the coastlines point there, the Nile River points there, the boot, if you will, of Italy, that the plain of Italy points right to that spot in the world. So, and it's always been recognized as the geographical center of the dry land of the planet. You can go across more dry land than anywhere with its geodetic, which is latitude, longitude, coordinates. So we have this pyramid, the center point, just like North American tectonic plate has the center point of this earth rings. The earth itself has these, arcs, if you will, the arc of China, the arc of Japan, the arc of Africa, and they're like these curvilinear shapes everywhere. Arcs of mountain ranges, arcs of rivers, they all resolve into circles, which tend to be centered on plutons, which are granite uplifts that haven't quite made it to the surface, volcanoes that haven't quite made it to the surface. And they cooled below ground, and then the ground was removed because of glaciation and erosion and such. And so these plutons are like mud bubbles coming up. You've seen these mud bubbles in Yellowstone and such at the geysers. Yeah, similar, but it's in greater scale. And I started looking at the Great Pyramid with those eyes, and I noticed that the arc of the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, the arc of Europe up through Scandinavia, all reference back to this point. When I took this reference point, my methods, I look for geographical features that are connected to the center site, and this particular site, the Great Pyramid, is centered on right next to the Nile River. And the Nile River has a delta, and you know, if you hold your hand out, you know, the delta is like this fan. The Great Pyramid is the center point of that fan. So even close in, it shows this geographical earth ring form starting to reveal itself. What I did was I took the length of the Nile River, which by coincidence, maybe not coincidentally, but it is the same diameter as the moon. So the width of the moon, if you will, is the same as the length of the Nile River. Not, you know, by crow, by a straight line, if you will. If you follow the river, it's considerably longer because of its meandering. But when you take that radius, you know, to say, okay, you know, this is the radius, the earth ring of the Great Pyramid is the length of the Nile, you generate this this ring that goes up and meets with Stonehenge and goes around through the arc of Scandinavia over into Russia and down through Eurasia into the Indus River Valley in Pakistan and back into Africa again. And so that's the proof in my eyes, and it's right at it's at a juncture point where all these various continents come together. It's like a pin that's holding the world together, if you will. And there's a lot of conversation around the Great Pyramid having stabilized the world after the Atlantean cataclysm. So when it was fully functioning, it was quite a machine. You know, that machine is connected to the world on a geometric level, if you will. The Great Pyramid is a model of the world. Whatever happens to the Great Pyramid happens to the world itself. By healing the Great Pyramid, I don't know what that would entail particularly. I mean, I had some thoughts on that, on how we could, you know, heal it using water and visualizations of that nature would benefit it greatly. There's been some talk of rebuilding it, and that might be an interesting project to get involved with.
I thought about using organite to assist in the healing process of the Great Pyramid.
The Great Pyramid is an orgone generator. In and of itself, it has this layering of electric and dielectric stone, sand, more stone, granites, and so each one of these types of rocks is a layering effect. Has the same output as an organite does, and an organite that you're referring to is a plexiglass construction made in various shapes that has minerals and metals that are electric and dielectric. And because of the compression strength on the organites, it generates an orgone charge. Yes, that would help. That would help considerably. Your listeners might find it interesting that the online retailer, the Estes, has been called on by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to cease selling organite.
You saw that, huh? Yeah,
I did. And it isn't just a internet rumor. It's true. They said either remove them or you'll lose your license to sell.
And the reason was because of radiation, and that implies that orgone energy, its counterpart of deadly orgone radiation, which is, I think, what you're talking about right now regarding the Great Pyramid energy. It is thought now that instead of generating positive orgone energy, the Great Pyramid could be generating deadly orgone radiation.
Yeah, it's possible, and it's by the you know, what is it, by their works you shall know thee, and same with the Great Pyramid, you can really see the effects of the energies that are coming out of the Great Pyramid by following the edge lines. So like a Great Pyramid pulls in energy from below and on its plane sides, it releases energy out its edge. If you follow the edge, the great X of the Great Pyramid, you know, looking down at it from the top, you got this X. And you follow that, those edges out in those four directions, and it tells you what's being transmitted by the pyramid.
Let's follow some of these ley line trajectories that you've mapped out. Can you talk about the southeast ley line trajectory from the Great Pyramid, its landmarks and historic significance?
Whew. Yeah, this is where we get into the alert, public alert. So in looking at the Great Pyramid, I saw that it's eccentric, geometric. I saw that it's the center of a lot of geographical features, but where does the Great X point? And I'm making an assumption that the pyramid builders actually constructed this at the crossing of two grand ley lines. So the southeast line, and southeast to northwest would be one line, but going southeast off the edge of the Great Pyramid, the Great Pyramid is situated within a few degrees of exact north. I mean, it's the accuracy of the construction of this thing is mind-blowing. So this line goes right to Mecca, right to the Kaaba. I mean, it couldn't be more exact. So the Kaaba seems to, you know, the Kaaba is the focus point of Muslim prayer, if you will. Five times a day, everyone sends their prayers and sins and whatever out to Mecca. In the Kaaba, there's this ancient, there's thought to be a meteorite, but geologists who've seen it say it's, you know, they're not sure what it is, but it's embedded in the wall. It's actually the stone that's in the wall was destroyed in the, you know, soon after Muhammad died. There was this power play to try to take over Mecca by one caliph over another, and, you know, the Shia and Sunni thing going on, and they had a trebuchet and shot a big rock in there, and it just shattered this rock, this rock which was the center focus of all of Islam. You know, so they all got together and glued it all back together, cemented it all back together, and stuck it in that kind of vulva shaped silver protrusion coming out of the corner of the Kaaba. That pyramid edge point comes right to that point. So that when I see something like that, it speaks to me. Ah, radius. You know, that's a radial line there. To test it out, I started looking at where that radial line goes, and if you arc it northward, it goes right through Baghdad, which is the center of the Shia's most sacred. You know, the tomb of Ali is there in Baghdad, and it goes up through the killing fields, the contemporary killing fields of Iraq and Kurdistan, and in through there where Islamic State was coming out. So the expression of Islamic State was, you know, part of this ring of Islam that circles around the Great Pyramid and goes up into Istanbul and around, I think it's very close to Athens, and down into Libya, where we have this situation where, you know, slave trading and, you know, humans are being harvested for organs for, you know, $200, and terrible things that are being done that are kind of like written in the Quran that they're okay to do. You know, it's okay to have slavery. It's okay to, you know, do whatever you want to do to any infidel out there. And that's kind of, you know, Islam has the most influence over the Great Pyramid. So that's the southeast, and it continues on through eastern shore of the Red Sea and goes through Yemen. You know, I mean, we're all culpable in this as Americans. We're all letting this happen. We're letting our leaders do this by supplying Saudi Arabia with the arms and bombs to, you know, kill and destroy millions of people within Yemen with the excuse that there's, you know, there's some rebels that are causing some problems around the border. So, okay, everybody has to die. That feeds the dark lord directly right there. You know, go through Somalia as well, or same thing happened. And right there at the Gulf of Aden, there's a little kind of mystery around that too. There's a the Gulf of Aden vortex. A few years back, there was a gathering of all the nations of the world, all the navies of the world came there, and it was thought that there was some kind of UFO base there. They discovered a UFO base in the Gulf of Aden. So that's right there too. And if you follow that out, just goes out into the ocean. You know, what we see in Giza is just the capstone of the World Pyramid, and the rest of it is underground. And then it's projected through the planet and then comes out in four places around the world. And most of them are in water. There's only one on land. Some of them are close to, like, Wake Island, and there's another one that's very close to the Falkland Islands south of off the east coast of South America. So we have that. It's like Islam is kind of under the control, if you will, of the Dark Lords of Amenti. This is how I read this assessment. How I read these land patterns. I mean, I don't like to see this. Don't like to say this, but it's just, you know, I want to have everybody should, you know, have their own free will and pursue their religious beliefs as they will, but this particular one seems to be affecting us all. That I don't like. It's kind of like, you know, it's the clash of wills, I guess.
Yeah, all on the southeast ley line extending from the southeast corner of the Great Pyramid. Let's follow the northwest ley line. That's very interesting. If you would, please tell listeners about its landmarks in history.
Well, the Northwest, you know, it goes out through one of the wonders of the world, the Lighthouse of Alexandria, the Alexandria, Egypt. You know, I mentioned earlier there was a fan of the Nile River Delta, projecting the northeast and northwest alignments out of the Great Pyramid frame that delta perfectly. So continuing out, it goes northwestward. It goes right through Crete. You know, King Minos, the Gold King. You know, the Minoan Empire, the Minoan culture that was there in Crete. Goes right, and there's actually another Muslim enclave right there in Crete that goes right through, and up through the boot of Italy, kind of right through. You know, some projections, maybe Rome, but it looks like more Assisi going up the spine of Italy. So it's a geologic plane that it's following. Goes out through Mount St. Michel, which is kind of on the coast of France. There's a abbey that's on an island that you have to, that gets cut off from the rest of the land every tidal. So it was like a fortress that you know, William the Conqueror was at, and it's like as I said, it speaks to this idea of war and death, and it goes right through Carthage, where the Carthaginians came. Hannibal, the Carthaginians came over the Alps. It goes right through that pass as well, real near Mount Mont Blanc, and crossing over a lot of these places that are multiple boundaries. You know, so there's a conversation with sovereignty that happens along these alignments. With all these lines, it goes over like multiple border confluences. So as it continues on over the pond and comes ashore, Gaspé Peninsula in Quebec, coursing down through the east side of the St. Lawrence River, down through Cleveland and Buffalo, where it hits two very large obelisks. One of Nelson Rockefeller, no, not the old man Rockefeller, but the big Rockefeller monument in Cleveland, and a large monument. So that's on the same line. So that's another death monument, sending energy back to the Great Pyramid. So in this loop. That continues on through the states and goes right through where the New Madrid Fault is. And that's another geologic hotspot, if you will. There's a Pluton, and that's another center of an Earth ring. So it comes right up through there. And back in 1811, when that the New Madrid Pluton generated an earthquake, it made the Mississippi flow north. If it happened today, if we had a similar, it was like a nine-pointer earthquake, which is kind of typical of this thing when it goes off, it would, you know, just destroy the entire Midwest, Chicago included. I mean, just the tremendous power that comes out of that is unreal. So that goes right through that boot heel of Missouri. That's the New Madrid Fault right there. Continuing on through, just brushing against the crystal fields of Arkansas, where you get a lot of our quartz crystals and all our New Age altars, all come out of there. So those crystals that are on our altars came from a spot that, you know, your crystals are communicating with the crystals in the ground there that are then communicating with the Great Pyramid. So it's like this. So we send our New Age prayers to our crystals, and those will get transmitted right to the archons of the Great Pyramid, and that continues on to where it exits. It exits in an area called the Durango State of Mexico, and in that state we have a lot of the Mexican cartels growing poppies and such in there. It's the so another kind of death frequency, if you will. You know, from heroin and, you know, fentanyl and all that stuff that they're producing down there and sending it to the States. It's also the Wazari people are there. They're big peyote eaters, and they worship a deer. But that's an interesting cultural anecdote there. But and so, you know, that's that line. And then you have going to the northeast. It's kind of the saving grace of all this is going to the northeast out of the Great Pyramid. We come, you know, across. Again, we go right through Cairo, right through this tower that was constructed on one of the islands in Cairo, and then out through the Suez Canal opening and over to northern Israel, and it comes ashore in Mount Carmel. And Mount Carmel is where, you know, Elijah battled the priests of Baal, and of course they lost, and Elijah won. And, but it goes right through the headquarters of the Baha'i faith. So the Baha'is are trying to instill a frequency of the sovereignty of the divinity of all men within this line, but that line continues on and goes through Golan Heights, where we have, of course, the endless wars between, you know, Syria and Israel and Jordan and, you know, who in the UN and who owns what, and there's this kind of conflict of sovereignty that's you know, like a conquering energy is being set forth. So it's kind of almost like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. In John's Revelation and New Testament, he speaks of these four horsemen. And one's the conqueror, one's the warrior, a third one is the justice, and the fourth one is death. It's a pattern that you can find in relationships. you know, you have this conquering energy that, you know, and if you try to conquer someone, then they're going to come back and you're going to end up with war. So you end up with this war. And then after the war, there are all these spoils, and everything is measured out. Like the people get so much for this amount of wheat and that amount of barley. But in the Revelation, they say, leave oil and water alone. Leave the elite alone. Leave the non-necessities of life unchecked, but like we have going on right now in our own particular expression of civilization. And then that eventually leads to death and famine because, you know, just it's untenable. It doesn't work, you know. So, you know, like we have in America today, you know, we have, you know, this 1% that, you know, it's just untenable. We're going to have starvation. People are dying in the streets already, and that's So that was John of Patmos's warning of, you know, of how this conquering energy gets manifest. So that seems to fit. There's any program that's, if there's any app that's being run out of the Great Pyramid, I would say that it's the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. In that Four Horsemen conversation, they talk about, you know, that the world is divided into four, and that's exactly what the pyramid does. It divides it into four quadrants. That same path where you know, the north, you know, where it goes through the Baha'i, it also goes through Mount Hermon, which is one of the sites where the transfiguration of Jesus took place, where he showed himself as a being of light to his apostles. But, you know, that's after the Golan Heights. And then it continues right a little bit to the west of Damascus by a couple of miles. So it goes, you know, right through all that and out to those killing fields again. So the intersection of the pyramid ley line, northeast pyramid ley line, and the ring field of Islam set by the Kaaba intersect right up in Kurdistan. It's just the terrible stuff that's going on there now. So, and that continues on across Eurasia, again hitting all these multiple borders like China, Mongolia, Russia, Uzbekistan, kind of all in one knot. And then it goes, continues on over to where the, in the coast of the Sea of Japan, where North Korea, Russia, and China come together in this little point. I mean, it's this river. The two countries are kind of pinched right there, and that's the arc point of reference to Mount Fuji that creates the earth ring that is Japan, but that's another story. But the same line goes right through Fukushima. So we have the death of the planet that's taking place because of the arrogance of the, you know, the toxic arrogance of nuclear power that we have going here. It's exampled in that way. And that goes out and continues where it exits, where it comes out into the ocean, is very close to Wake Island, where the U.S. Air Force has a lot of nuclear weapons staged, ready to go. And it's pretty close to where all the nuclear bombs were. It's part of the Marshall Island group, and that's where all the nuclear bombs were detonated in the 50s and 60s and such. So, you know, again, you know, that signature of death is along this line. So
that's the northeast trajectory of the Great Pyramid.
Yeah.
We kind of touched upon some of the reasons that could be causing discordant energies that influence genocide and war, as you've pointed out in your article. Is this discord, you think, intentionally created?
Yeah, right. That's a big question. I would hope it isn't. There is this piece where the Great Pyramid established the canon of the world, the canon of modern architectural patterning. So, you know, like the layout of Central Park, the design of certain buildings, the Capitol building, it's all based on the pyramid. And there's this conversational relationship between the pyramid and obelisk. So the pyramid sends out energies, the obelisk grounds it back into the earth and sends it back to the Great Pyramid. So you have this influence, you know, like Washington, D.C., which is based on the same canons, sacred proportions as the Great Pyramid. That frequency that's being generated by the discord within and the acrimony within Washington, D.C. is being transmitted right back to the Great Pyramid, and the Great Pyramid sends that out again. So, yes, there are forces at work, but conscious forces, I'm not so sure. You know, I can't say for sure. There's these dark lords that Thoth felt as though needed to be capped over by the Great Pyramid. You know, they're from Hades, and Hades is death, and they're trying to draw life out of, bring it into a death state. So, you have this potential that exists within the design and setup of Great Pyramid to do this, and it appears as though they have a willing agent in the populations right around it to spread discord.
We did a whole show on the Ark of Palmyra and the placing of the replica of that ark, that archway in New York City, I think in Times Square, but it was recently placed in Washington, D.C. What do you think about that in terms of discord?
That our arch was in Palmyra, which is the where the Temple of Baal was, and it's, you know, so that carries that frequency of death. You know, the death of the firstborn was something that was demanded by the priests of Baal to placate this god that supposedly needed blood sacrifice. So this idea of blood sacrifices in this cult of death, if you will, that's permeated the world, comes out of the Great Pyramid. You know, the Egyptian culture, which kind of discovered or kind of took over the Great Pyramid because it was built prior to their historical period, their whole Egyptian religion was based on death and afterlife in this relations to the great halls of Amenti. That was kind of the start of religion, if you will, of the modern era. And, modern era, I don't know, historical era. You can see that those death cults being played out in, you know, Jewish sacrifice at the temples. You know, I mean, you got to kill the bull, you got to kill the dove, you got to kill the goat in Islamic, you know, it used to be that you would kill, like I said, kill a firstborn son or kill, population control. I don't know. That's crazy. But you have this cult of death is what I'm, certainly the ritualized sacrifice and ritual cannibalism of Christianity, with receiving the host, the body and blood of Christ and stuff like that. It's all, you know, that was created to try to, stop these blood sacrifices and just have it be a symbolic thing instead. But it was something that everybody wanted, because in the Council of Nicaea, it was decided to, you know, have this particular pattern of a religion in the Roman religion. So yeah, it's a cult of death that's being broadcast out from, and that's being played out in this genocidal thing. So it's like, it's almost like the Great Pyramid or the Dark Lords that are within the Great Pyramid are using the Great Pyramid to transmit need for death through religion, and then by religious discord. And there's the first mention of the land of Cana or Israel right now was a curse that was written on a stela in Aswan, which was against the monotheistic practice of the Baal worshippers, the El worshippers. So you have Israel, which is Isis, Ra, and El, you know, as a three-name acronym. It generated this curse that can only be resolved if all the religions kill one another. Because, you know, if you're a monotheistic religion, there's only one true God. Well, the Jews have a different religion than the Muslims have a different one to the Christians. And so it's, it's kind of like it's a big setup for the grand finale.
Certainly is. And I appreciate you going into a little bit of depth there. Your colleague, Mary Hardy, author of the book Pyramid Energy, Philosophy of God, Science of Man, mentions that each ley line has its own individual nature, which is expressed in its direction of the flow, the frequency of its pulse, the line of relaxation between pulses, the width of the pulse, the length of the line, and finally the heading of the line at the intersection site. Not all lines are consistently straight or constantly deep. In fact, consistency between any two lines is seldom the case. Mary Hardy also noted that simple poles were stuck in the ground to mark sacred places. Baton Rouge received its name because the Indians marked it with a red pole. Sometimes the poles become obelisks. She continues and shows how some obelisks weighing more than 8,000 pounds are built on vortex downshoots, and others weighing less than 8,000 pounds are built on vortex upshoots. You mentioned obelisks in your article in terms of the Egyptian movement in America and placing obelisks as grave markers, monuments, and in parks. Can you talk about how Earth energy moves through the obelisk?
The obelisks that you see in a lot of graveyards and town parks, and you know, like Buffalo, New York has a huge one to McKinley, and of course the Washington Monument is not a true obelisk because it's made of a true obelisk is made of a single stone, because it has a current, consistent energy within the rock, where if you were to stack rocks, stones to create a very large obelisk, the stone itself would have different polarities depending upon how the stone was cut and what it was cut out of. But as a single piece of rock, you would have a singular energy stream that could be gathered. So Mary Hardy and company have really done some outstanding work living with a pyramid for 30, 40 years, and being intuitive people, they've been able to discern how they operate and vortextual qualities within, and how they communicate with upshoots and downshoots and medicine wheels, and it's quite a body of work. But with the Egyptian revival movement of the late 1800s, early 1900s, you had the Masons going all over the place placing these obelisks, using the sacred canon, and when they're building capital buildings, using ley line knowledge to place them in relation to one another, and tying it all back into the Great Pyramid, which is tying back into the World Pyramid. So when you place a obelisk in the middle of a graveyard or multiple obelisks, you're taking that whole stream of that comes along with the graveyard, and transmits that back to it's like a return back to the Great Pyramid, feeding the Great Pyramid this death frequency.
Oh, that's interesting, because I suspected that that's one method of travel in the spirit state. Maybe it's easier to travel along the magnetic lines of a ley line, and if they all travel back to the Great Pyramid, do you think that could be the vortex for a lot of human souls?
Right. It's that's the kind of conspiracy fear-based perspective, that there are these archons that are feeding off human suffering, and yeah, they use the ley lines, they use the Great Pyramid as their feed. And it doesn't really matter what the feed is. They take it out. It's all energy to them. They just take it in. And having these obelisks and everything all over the world, you're kind of reinforcing the world grid in that way.
Peter, what are your thoughts on Mary and Dean Hardy's assessment of the Great Pyramid energy system? They wrote about how the Great Pyramid generates a double vortex, which they call a standing columnar wave. If the vortex energy is perpendicular to the Earth, it's called the standing columnar wave. If it's horizontal, it's called a solitron. The system was engineered during the time period of Atlantis and was constructed with the use of pyramids, domes, obelisks, mounds, medicine wheels, and many other forms of electromagnetic tuners. The Ark of the Covenant was the control panel for this intricate system of solitron energy. They believe that Tesla could tap into that same energy system.
Tesla and the crew, yeah, they all were tapping into the same thing. It's a universal energy, and there are many methods in which to use, in which to gather up and use and focus these energies. So the Great Pyramid was used, like Tesla, as a wireless transmitter. If you will, the King's Chamber has this particular setup with the, you know, standing stones with these large horizontal, you know, little like Lincoln log stacks of rock on top of it with a kind of a peaked roof on top of that, all encased within the pyramid. And that same shape is the same shape as the top of the Rod of Ptah, which is what was used as an energy, to gather energy from the king's chamber. That, you know, that was the energy that was emanating out of the Great Pyramid, could be collected by this and controlled by the pineal gland, which is this has the same setup to it. So you have this, a priest in Egypt would have been, you know, working with these, with these tools, you know, the consciousness tool, the Rod of Ptah in one's hand, and the Great Pyramids set up. And that's also the same design as the Djed pillar. And the Djed pillar is thought to be the spine of Osiris, but it's also the spine of the world. It's always depicted at the 27.5 degree angle, which is the angle of the ecliptic where the planet spins. So the whole ritual cosmology and the yearly cycles of the Egyptian pantheon were geared towards maintaining this. But the standing column or waves that you spoke of were those are the discoveries of Walter Russell. Both cellotrons and standing column or waves are his work. Walter Russell was a fellow in the 30s, a genius that figured out how the whole universe runs. And there's a university in Illinois that's devoted to his work, Walter Russell. And the Great Pyramid does that, and it the standing column or wave comes out of the peak itself, out of the capstone, the apex of the pyramid.
The pineal gland reference you made connects to that image that's in your article titled "Healing the World Pyramid." The image is a pyramid in your head.
Yeah, we all walk around pyramids in our head. You can see the point of it coming out as our nose, and our two ears would be the second, third point, and the fourth point would be kind of the mouth of God, that point in the back of your head there where your skull meets your spine. We are tuned to that. We are tuned to the Great Pyramid. And we are, you know, like the Great Pyramid, we're a product of water.
Yes. Well, can you explain your concept about thinking of the Great Pyramid as a molecule of holy water?
In my research, trying to find out, you know, what's the bottom line here? I mean, we're on a planet of water. That made sense to look at water, at the water molecule. And you have this H2O, right? Oxygen and two hydrogen bonded to that single oxygen molecule. And the angle of bond, ideally, according to, you know, modern science, is 104.5. And the Great Pyramid, if you will, it's at a 51 degree angle, and the combined, if you will, it ends up with a 103.2 angle, which I believe is the more ideal angle for water, because at that angle it generates all these sacred geometries within the molecule itself. I call it holy water because it's the progenitor of all sacred geometries. So all nature, if you will, is a product of water, including the planets, including the solar systems, including the stars. It's all a product of water. And water has, you know, two points, and that can generate a vesica piscis, you know, the vessel of the fish, which is, you know, you see in all the Christian Jesus bumper stickers and stuff. You know, you got that, the ichthyus of Christ. You know, so that's the first one, which you can generate all the threes, sixes, nines, twelves, all those regular numbers can come out of that Vesica Pisces. The flower of life comes out of that. And then when you take these kind of intersecting points, you end up with a pentagram, a five-pointed star, and a seven-pointed geometry. And they lock together, and within that, within a seven-pointed geometry, you end up with this pyramidal form that emerges out of the center of it. So the Great Pyramid is like the idealized material form of water. So you can follow me for a minute here. The Great Pyramid has a moat around it, had a moat around it. So that would, you know, with water and that evaporation during the hot desert, you know, and at that latitude, you'd get considerable amount of heat that would come up along the hit the surfaces of the pyramid itself, which would be cooler than the air. You generate condensation that would generate an uplift, so you'd have a circular flow that would come in and up its four sides, and then every afternoon, because of the electric charge that's generated by the King's Chamber connecting with the ionosphere, you would have an electrical storm or a rainstorm that would occur periodically because of just the nature of the pyramid itself being this solid form of water. So the solid form of water would then, what's encoded within it, would then be transmitted to all the waters of the world because it's the app, if you will. It's the app of the planet. You can control the planet with the Great Pyramid. You can control the waters. Yeah. And with it so dry around there right now, deserts of Giza and Sahara, something's wrong. There should be more water. There should be more rain. There should be more vitality within the planet. But you know, because the Great Pyramid is, you know, collapsed, it's no longer functioning as a geostatic machine, you know, like our pineal gland governs our endocrine system. The Great Pyramid would govern the geostasis of the planet, the endocrine system of the planet, the flow of liquids around the planet, how in our lymph system. So we are made in the image and likeness of the Earth. And all creation is made in the same image and likeness.
In Moon Rivers, your book that came out a while ago, I was actually staring at the that water molecule that you have in the first page there, and I noticed that you had a hydrogen atom on one corner and another on the other corner, and then the oxygen at the very top. Very interesting. I didn't see the pyramid before until you just mentioned it now. You mentioned about the absence of rain, and you talk about this in Moon Rivers, and you talk about how the ceremonies to bring rain are almost forgotten amid modern culture, and also the electromagnetics that affect the sky rivers, and you add in the spraying of the skies and the geoengineering of the skies, and our past guest Dane Wigington really emphasizes how that has disrupted the hydrological cycle. So you can factor a lot of these unfortunate events into the lack of rain.
Yeah, it'll take down empires. It will rise up empires. Water is critical. You know, America is great because of its rivers. We were able to get into its interior through its rivers. You know, so yeah, water is the bomb.
Peter, can you tell listeners how to find this article?
Yeah, it's you can go to my website, geometryofplace.com, and click on articles. There's in the side panel. I have an old HTML type website, so I got a list in the sidebar there, and. So you look in their articles, and it's right, I posted it right there, the first article that you come to. It's called Healing the World Pyramid.
thank you again for a fantastic interview.
You're welcome, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me on.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again Monday, 11 p.m. Visit In Other News Radio for archives and more information about the guest.
The device can also point, let's say, at your intestines and make you feel nauseous or just projectile vomit, and you have no control over it. It can pulse me in my left groin and lock up my left hip joint, which is extremely painful.
So if my mouth could have hung open, it would, because I was under the impression God forgives everybody. But evidently, taking free will away from humans is a worse sin than murdering them.
Then you can't get up off the couch or off the bed. Even if you're laying down and you're hit there, you're in bed laying down, it's painful, it's excruciating.
They had been pitching people on this idea of the invisibility technology, including the Navy and SAIC, going back 10 years.
10 years ago.
The angel said, God has turned God's face away from you.
Well, it actually makes perfect sense, because you would want to experiment with this stuff in real time, in a real situation with someone who doesn't know what's happening.
God will show you no compassion or mercy upon your death. You will be cast into hell for eternity for taking free will away from humankind.
These people know exactly what they're doing to me. They just dial the power up and dial it back, and they point at a certain part of my body through my walls and shoot. So they just press their cursor onto the selected desire power, and cycles per second vibration, I feel the results.
You will be cast into hell for eternity for taking free will away from humankind.